The Final Edition Radio Hour is a work of satire intended for people who own books, gentrify neighborhoods, and say they like kale. Please consume responsibly, the satire, that is.
I'm Jeff Chrysler.
And I'm Tony Hendra. And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Happy New Year, Tony.
New Year?
Yeah, it's Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, Rosh Hashanah. That's when you fillet the family driver, right?
The Jewish New Year. You know, apples and honey and school closures and easy commutes.
Well, I wouldn't say the commute has been easy. What with the fake terror threats against the subway?
Another high holiday tradition. Mix family, tradition, and fear, and what do you get?
Blind support for Israel?
Exactly. We didn't make fun of the guilty Jewish motherland this week, did we?
Nope. Israel stayed out of our satirical crosshairs for now.
Well, you know, they do have that Iron Dome. It stops missiles and bombs and dick jokes.
We also don't really talk about the 2014 midterm elections, the UN General Assembly, Obama drinking coffee, or those dirty rat bastard Koch brothers buying what little remains of our precious New York City culture.
Speaking of the city, do we get after Mayor de Blasio for killing that groundhog?
No, no groundhogs. But we do discuss lemmings and the right to life of viruses.
Seems like a fair trade to me. You know, I really should listen to this show.
Please do.
This is
the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Today on Clickbait, 10 popular actors who were in another thing once.
Wow, Emma Watson was totally in a movie before she was in that other movie.
A heartwarming video of a cat not being a total asshole. A hilarious video of a cat being a total asshole. 10 celebrities who aged since 15 years ago.
How dare they?
A clip from a TV show we didn't even produce, but we get the traffic.
Because it's an important message.
20 famous people who didn't used to be famous. You won't believe who's number 6.
See Prince Charles on the list.
15 stars who've never been able to... Oops, not enough room for that headline. Guess you'll have to click just to find out what the hell it even is.
I think I just downloaded child porn.
And a guy makes an amazing political statement that isn't really that amazing.
And it's from, like, 2 years ago.
That's today on Clickbait, where it's almost like you read something.
I'm the thoroughly discredited and off-the-radar Piers Morgan. Today's guest was celebrated this week at the People's Climate March. Please welcome Mother Earth. Hello? Mother?
Sorry. And you are?
Piers. Piers Morgan.
No, I mean, what species?
Human. Human beings? Homo sapiens?
Are you the ones who live in the trees?
You're thinking of the simians. Humans live in houses, buildings, condos, co-ops.
I can't keep track of all you guys, except George Clooney.
Out of all the billions of people living on you, you know George Clooney?
Come on, everybody knows George Clooney.
400,000 people turned out in New York last weekend to sing your praises.
Right. Sting was there. The one person with an ego bigger than mine.
The goal of the march was to stop global warming.
I wish they would stop global warming. You know where it really sucks? In my nether regions.
I didn't know the Earth had nether regions. I'm not sure I want to know.
South of the equator. Come on, Piers, get your mind out of Tierra del Fuego.
The goal of the march was to raise awareness to save you.
Oh, that's cute. I don't need saving. You know who needs saving? You simians.
Humans.
Whatever. What's Ted Cruz?
I suppose the jury might be out on him.
Well, a lot of you say the jury's out on global warming.
What do you say to that?
I don't need you. I was here before you, and I'll be here after you. I spent a few hundred million years with the dinosaurs. They were boring, but no worse than HGTV.
So you don't care what happens to human beings?
Do you care what happens to your zits?
Are you comparing human civilization to annoying outgrowths of pus?
Well, not George Clooney.
Where will we see you next, Earth?
You can't avoid seeing me, unlike you, Piers.
Thank you, Mother Earth. For the final edition, I'm Piers Morgan.
The final edition asked the man on the street, what's your opinion of the NFL wife-beating scandal?
Look, I'm not in favor of domestic violence, but at least, you know, we're not shipping it overseas, right?
It's kind of weird that a guy who trains in football all year and, I don't know, it's weird he would turn violent like that.
I had diarrhea once.
Well, you can see it on the video of him beating his future wife. He has fast hands, he has good legs, he's good in the clutch.
When they were in the elevator, I guess she just pushed the wrong buttons.
He took her out of the elevator. He put her shoe back on. The man is a gentleman.
Don Budge used to fuck his ball boy.
Well, I still contend if he'd run a lateral, he could have knocked her back an additional 5 yards.
I don't want to talk about what happened after the punch, because I don't want to drag this out.
And now, an unofficial non-message from the President of the United States.
My fellow no longer war-weary Americans. We are not at war. We are at airstrikes. This is a legal distinction, not a medical or moral one. Medical and moral distinctions are not made by the United States, but by Amnesty International, or Rockstars, or Rockstars at Amnesty International concerts, where T-shirts are available for only $25. The Constitution does not require me to notify Congress about airstrikes because when it was ratified in the late 1700s, the only way you could strike from the air was if you took a musket up in a balloon. It was almost impossible to load, and good luck finding your musket ball. Today, I don't inform Congress before airstrikes, but I do inform Syria's President Assad. Why do I give advance notice to our least trusted, most slippery ally since Benedict Arnold? This is so I can best defeat one of the most terrifying groups we've ever faced, Congress. I will not seek a declaration from Congress because I would get one. And then Democrats would have to share credit with Republicans for our only victory nobody called me a socialist for. We will fight ISIS until they are obliterated. An ambitious goal when you consider we still haven't obliterated all the nut jobs trying to jump the fence at the White House. Even though I'm ending my presidency with a new conflict, very much like the two I was elected to get us out of, don't worry about peace. You don't need peace because, after all, we're not at war. Make love, not undeclared airstrikes. Thank you, and God bless my quagmire.
The Final Edition Radio Hour will be right back.
Welcome back to the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Hello, welcome to Bashir's Bash. I am host, Syrian President Bashir al-Assad. First guest is from new CBS drama, Dame Secretary Téa Leoni.
That's Madam Secretary, not Damn Secretary.
Okay, Mrs. Dam, you play Secretary modeled on Hillary Clinton. Why, in debut episode, was Syria bad guy, fulfilling cliched need for foreign villain?
Because it's well known that Syria has done bad things. You must admit that.
This we don't admit. What we admit, we don't say. What we don't say, we don't confirm. What we confirm, we don't deny. What we don't deny, we don't remember.
I don't know what you're saying.
CBS does bad things, too. The good wife? Not good. Price is right. Price is wrong.
Are you comparing Syria to an American television network?
Not television network. Tiffany Network. Home of Cronkite, 60 Minutes, Julie Chen.
You used gas on your own people. Don't you think that makes Syria a bad guy?
No. It makes us Ferguson, Missouri. Next guest is guy who said we use the gas, Secretary of State John Kerry. Madam Secretary.
That's Mr. Secretary.
Mr. Terry, is U.S. at war with ISIS or ISIS?
We're not at war. And what's the difference?
ISIS is ISIS. ISIS is ISIS.
You're not making any sense.
Sense we don't make, but the wars, at least, we declare.
Who cares what you declare? We don't accept the legitimacy of your presidency.
I get higher ratings than Mama Leone's show, Person of Pinterest.
That's Tay Leone, and it's Madam Secretary.
Okay, Mr. Madam. I was elected with 88% of vote. Scotland voted to stay in UK with 55% of vote. I am more legitimate by 33% than people who eat stuffed stomachs.
Haggis.
Paul Haggis, he write Crash. Also, 30-something. This we do not see, except on Hulu.
You know what you call a man elected by voters in government-controlled areas?
Abraham Lincoln during American Civil War.
Don't compare yourself to Lincoln.
I don't compare myself to Spielberg movie. I compare myself to Bad Boys, Flirting with Disaster, and Dick and Jane.
Those are my movies.
What are you saying? That you're the Tia Leone of Syria?
No, I am not Tia Leone because I would never divorce David Duchovny. Show over. Join me next time when my guests will be Edward Snowden and Edward Snowden.
And now, in honor of the release of the I timepiece, Jim Earl will read an obituary of a real dead person.
Steve Jobs, dear leader. Steve Jobs, the computer pioneer who co-founded Apple and inspired people all over the world to think outside the box, is now stuck inside one. Sources say just before his death, the ailing Jobs turned beige and dragged himself into the trash for deletion. The news came as a shock to countless Apple fans who still insist they're not going to buy his death until a later version comes out. Historians rate Jobs on a par with Thomas Edison, mainly because they both love to make silent movies of guys with big mustaches sneezing. A true visionary, he was the first to see the real commercial potential of the graphical user interface, especially when it was made in Chinese sweatshops. Among his many patents was the hockey puck-shaped mouse, or as Chinese workers call it, the only thing strong enough to snap my neck after securing the cord to an eighth-floor railing so that I may leave this daily torture and finally taste the sweet relief that is death, mouse. Jobs recently fought hard for city planners to approve his new company headquarters built in the style of a spaceship. The hope was to attract non-union labor from Pluto, who only eat discarded zunes. Weird. Jobs' last wish was for Apple police to search the surrounding neighborhood in order to find out which one of his employees accidentally took home his liver. This obit was made on a Mac.
For more tasteless obituaries, buy Jim's book, Morning Remembrance. Remember, morning is spelled with a U. Get it? That's funny.
And now the final edition brings you the Royal Babies Weekly Press Conference, live from Kensington Palace.
Royal Baby! Royal Baby, over here!
One at a time, you bloody wankers!
George, what are your thoughts on the failed bid for Scottish independence?
Scotland only wanted what I got last year. To get out of its mum's twat.
It doesn't bother you that if they left, you'd have one-third less of a kingdom to rule?
Long as I've got me pint, I don't care what I fucking rule. Is Guinness Scottish?
No, it's Irish.
Same thing.
Your thoughts on Alex Salmond, Scottish independence leader, who said he would step down.
Salmond? Is he the Loch Ness Monster?
He's the First Minister.
Potato, potato.
How does it feel knowing that the Queen's title remains intact?
Is that the band that plays with that wanker Adam Lambert?
No, no. Her Majesty Elizabeth II, by the grace of God, of the United Kingdom, of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, and of her other realms and territories.
I don't know which is longer, her bloody name or me grandfather's ears.
What would you do if Scotland sought independence again during your rule as king?
Well, I'm only a bloody infant, mate. But for that to happen, the Nationalists would have to get 6% of the vote in Union strongholds. Second, me great-grandmum would have to kick the royal bucket. I don't see either of those things happening in the next 100, 150 years.
So you think Scotland is happy where it is?
No, but it's happy where they are, mate. That's why the bloody divine wanker who rules the universe created barley, ops, and quality fermentation.
Hi, I like Bernie Sanders. That's why I don't want to vote for him.
You said it. Bernie is the one candidate who says and does everything I believe in. That's why I'm voting for Hillary.
Me too. I can't vote for the person I like. I have to vote for the one I can comfortably settle for.
Hey, it's my head that has to go on that pillow when I go to bed at night. That's why I'm supporting the candidate who is diametrically opposed to everything I support as a progressive.
I don't see where you have a choice.
Me neither.
Me threeither.
Thank God we live in a system where we're free to rubber stamp uninspiring candidates pre-selected by Wall Street, multinationals, and the media.
Can you imagine what we'd have in this country if everyone voted their actual conscience?
Democracy?
Free will?
Fun?
Fortunately, we don't have to worry about any of that. Because if there's one thing the majority will never do...
it's throw their vote away.
By using it on a popular, beloved experience candidate.
Like that guy. What's his name? I can't remember the name of the senator from Vermont.
Me neither.
Me neither.
Me threether.
Me forther.
Paid for by the people who love Bernie Sanders, but not enough to vote for him.
Coming this fall from all three networks, it's Coppophilia, yet another searing drama about Americans' crazy, doomed, but unending love affair with cops. James Franco stars as Officer Lou Stiggy Stiglitz, yet another bipolar, sociopathic, trigger-happy, but always endearing cop who strews bullet-riddled corpses, ruined lives, and routine injustices in his wake the way a snake sheds skins. And always comes out smelling like an endearingly battered week-old rose.
Hey, officer, how can I have a career in law enforcement?
Get your hands on the car, you fucking dirtbag. What you got in your pocket? A fucking gun? He's got a fucking gun!
No, no, you put it there! Ah, mommy! Mommy!
Good job, Stiggy. Keep these numbers up, you'll make lieutenant.
Like you say, Captain, forget the law. It's all about enforcement.
Coppophilia, the series that brings you the heartwarming inside story of the brave men and occasional deluded female who 24/7, 365 are ready and willing to put their lives on the line for one another.
I saw you plant that gun on the kid, Stiggy. I'm going to IA.
Tell you how it works, Cadet Cody. One of us kills a perp, sugar. We all kill the motherfucker. Ever hear about the one rotten apple in the barrel?
Yeah, and you're it.
That ain't the way it is, sweetie. One good apple in the barrel spoils it for the rest of us apples. One good apple in the barrel is a fucking rat.
Jesus, you just shot her in cold blood.
Motherfucker. You did.
Coppophilia, the show that brings you the enduring truth that any police force in any society embodies the darkest, cruelest, and stupidest prejudices that society harbors and whitewashes them so clean you love those boys and babes in blue.
Excuse me, officer. Can you tell me the way to the Statue of Liberty?
I'm eating. Go fuck yourself.
You know, you people are the same everywhere. Back home, we call you lot the filth.
Get your fucking hands in the car, you limey faggot. What do you got in your pocket?
Probably the gun you're about to put there. Mommy!
Coppophilia, yet another exciting, engrossing telenarcotic series from yet another craven network that brings you yet another flawed but lovable version of your own collective lizard brain. Cops, you gotta love them on Coppophilia.
With luck, we'll be back with more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Welcome back to the Final Edition Radio Hour. A few days ago, I was rummaging through my archives, and I came across an album which I produced for the National Lampoon many, many years ago, called Lemmings. And Lemmings is actually an off-Broadway show, which was quite a big hit in 1973, which I produced and directed, and cast for their first major roles, really, John Belushi and Chevy Chase and Christopher Guest, amongst other very talented people. And Lemmings was, as I say, it was quite a hit at the time, but it seems to have become well-known in a kind of underground way amongst many, most of whom couldn't possibly have seen it in its off-Broadway run, which was only about 9 months. And I thought it might be interesting to play some of the selections from it here on the Final Edition Radio Hour. Lemmings was intended as a full-scale parody of Woodstock, in which we would parody many of the singers and groups that appeared at Woodstock, like Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Joan Baez, Joe Cocker, and quite a few who didn't, like James Taylor, and significantly Bob Dylan, and Mick Jagger, and the Stones. And it had a rather dark joke at its center, which was that instead of 500,000 people coming together in an upstate New York locale to enjoy 3 days of rock, drugs, and mud, it was a gathering called the Woodchuck Festival of Peace, Love, and Death, in which 1 million lemmings, or rock fans, had gathered basically to off themselves. So I thought it might be amusing to hear some of the stage announcements which were done by the MC, the satanic MC of Lemmings, John Belushi, and also some of the songs to see if they hold up. So here are a few of the parodies from Lemmings performed by a cast which included John Belushi, Chevy Chase, Christopher Guest, Alice Playton, Paul Jacobs, Gary Goodrow, and Mary Mitchell.
Politicians polarizing power trips.
We're just too pure and peaceful to the sand.
So we got our heads together while the planet fell to bits.
Now the ones I've left to take a suicide. Yeah. Daisies.
knows if you're restless for release.
That just might be the final rush you crave.
We all believe in flowers and we all believe in peace.
And there's endless peace and flowers in the grave.
I'm up to my knees in cow shit. I'm shoveling my blues away.
Was your leader? You say I turned you on. You're starting to suspect now. It was all a con. Oh, I don't give a darn. No. Out behind the barn. Oh. You say I owe you something. You ask me for my plan. Just who are you expecting? Jesus, Zimmerman. Oh, I don't give a darn. Out behind the barn. Oh.
Oh, out behind the barn. I'm chewing on a piece. Shoveling my blues away, yeah.
All right, I don't want to bring anybody down or ruin his so-called groovy vibes, but I had an important message here. I got a weather communique from the Weather Bureau. You know, you don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. All right! The time has come for all of us to objectively analyze the situation and take the correct remedy. We are all of us, black and white, brothers and sisters, pigs! We owe to the third world off ourselves. If you are not a black, homosexual, working class woman, you're an oppressor, pig! You deserve to die! Every time you shit or piss, you dump uric acid on Mother Earth, and then you wipe your ass with the corpse of a tree! You're not worthy of the cow that died to make your stinking belt, your running dog jackal! All right! Now, objective analysis should show you that it won't be easy to off yourself, because the bourgeoisie control the ownership of nylon rope and steel razor blades and all the means of self-extermination. The Weather Bureau recommends that you beat yourself to death in a 4-foot-deep hole full of organic compost. Or if you want to do something really meaningful, we got TNT suppositories for everybody. Power to the correct people!
Speaking of rain chants and black magic and all other primitive stuff, we got a group of soul brothers up here from Motown. We're going to lay some of their natural rigor mortis on you. And we want to hear a lot of right ons out there.
Right on.
Once you make a feel at home.
Right on.
So let's hear it for the Motown Manifestos.
Workers of the world tonight, you have nothing to lose but your chain. You can lose them if you like tonight, but you gotta strive, you gotta strive with all your might and main. The history of our entire society is the history of the struggle with the bourgeoisie.
Production.
The bourgeoisie is nothing but negativities.
The bourgeoisie here jams again.
Now hear this, Mr. Oppressor.
tamed by the force below the throne of existing condition. Ever ruling class is trembling, and a communist revolution. We disdain to conceal our views and our aims. The proletariat has nothing to lose, but it's changed. We got a world to wear. We got a world to wear.
Oh, yeah.
We got a world to wear. We got a world to wear.
Oh, yeah.
Workers of the world unite. You have nothing to lose but your chains.
It says here that there's still about a half a million of us left. Let's hurry it up. Okay, I'd like to introduce this next group. Well, this next singer, anyway. This group is very good. They're very good friends of mine, and they have a lot of showmanship.
Waves of my soulful moody mind. Baby, why'd you treat me so unkind? I miss your paisley curtains and your morning buttered toast, but my highway toes are coming to the coast. Shooting up the highway on the roadmap of my wrist. Maybe I've just scratched you off my list. Miss your tie-dyed bed sheets and your pretty swimming mouth, but my highway tones are coming to the sound. Farewell, New York City, with your streets that flash like strobes. Farewell to Carolina, where I left my frontal lobes. Alone but for my agent, a photographer for life. You hear them contracts falling, I'm too sensitive to stay, and my highway tones are thumbing me away. Farewell, New York City, with your streets that flash like strobes. Farewell, Carolina, where I left my frontal lobe.
We will return to the final edition Radio Hour after this. Welcome back to the final edition Radio Hour.
Welcome, viruses of the world! Welcome, bacteria of the world! The World Council of Pathogens is delighted you can be at this awesome celebration. What are we celebrating? All you fantastic. fantastically hard-working viruses and bacteria who are finding new ways to combat the deadliest threat to our planet's health it has seen in 4 billion years. Yes, that exponentially propagating species that brings death, misery, seizures, and disfigurement to every living thing it infects. Homo sapiens! Ironically, this deadly species was originally transmitted to the planet via the same lowland gorillas we have historically counted on to transmit some of our most powerful cures for the deadly species. Brave pioneering viruses like smallpox. A beloved memory. Smallpox, which gave its life in the fight to save the planet. Yeah, come on, give it up for a real hero! But hey, enough of my yakking. Here to present the award tonight is our guest star on loan from the World Council of Bacteria, the very lovely, ever-popular Malaria!
Thank you, thank you. No, really, thank you. I am so happy to be here. And a big thank you back to my old pal and comrade in arms, the legendary Hall of Famer, whose stats beat just about every other world famous virus ever, influenza! How about those lowland gorillas? No dis intended, guys. We love all you do selflessly transmitting viruses to the arch enemy. Just because you made one mistake a couple million years ago doesn't make you the bad guys. So let's hear it for Lowland Gorillas. And a shout out to African Fruit Bats. And of course, every virus and bacterium's favorite, that lovely, lovely, charming, helpful species, rats! I ask you, what would we do? What would any of us do without rats or ticks? Oh, God of pathogens, I love ticks! Ticks are the future! Okay, down to business. Folks, the Homo sapiens pandemic continues to spread. But I've a hunch we've reached the tipping point. We have a whole bunch of pathogens vying for the top spot tonight. Some regulars, some newcomers, some veterans hankering for a comeback. On the up and up is dengue fever. Reliable, hardworking HIV. And our good friend,
kind of retired.
Me too, as in semi-retired. Then there are the real tough newcomers from the hood, necrotizing fasciitis. Creutzfeldt-Jakob syndrome. And of course, the star of the hour, plucky little Ebola. The envelope, please. And the winner of the most promising pathogen of the year is... Oh my God. It hasn't even got a name yet, and it's... It's resistant to every form of antibiotic! It's an airborne necrotic bacterium. Yay, bacteria! That... Get this... completely destroys human lung tissue in 5 to 10 minutes. It's already massively present in urban populations worldwide, and it's transmitted by household pets.
This is Barry Lank, the West Coast producer of the Final Edition Radio Hour. We're not even going to try to rationalize the premise of this sketch. What if Scooby-Doo were Hitler?
Roland, Czechoslovakia, and Russia! The ruse grabbed us in the rack. We will round them up and rend them to Ruckenwald, Auschwitz, Rittenberg, and New York.
Turns out the banking conspiracy was old man Juicestein all along.
Rusty Rowan's running at the Olympics. Ruddy's a regro.
Mein Führer, we must prepare for D-Day.
D-Day?
No, D-Day.
D-Day?
No, D-Day.
D-Day!
D-Day!
Mein Führer, the enemy is headed for Berlin. Und Steiner could not stop the Soviets.
Ruckroll.
For the Final Edition Radio Hour, Will Durst here to say congratulations to President Barack Obama. Wonderful speech in front of the United Nations General Assembly, rallying the world against terrorism. Proves a guy can be plenty tough when the time calls for it. Matter of fact, he's got to be the most belligerent of all Nobel Peace Prize winners ever. Good to see the great facilitator finally get to facilitate. After almost 6 years, that's gotta feel good. Suck sand, Mitch McConnell. One minor quibble. He keeps calling the band of roving terrorists ISIL. From the beginning, we were told they answered to the Islamic State of Syria, or ISIS. But recently, a plethora of monikers have popped up. ISIS, ISIL, the Islamic State, and the cretinous toad butt-wipe lizard sticks. That's my favorite. The Islamic State seems to be the worst choice, since they are neither very Islamic nor a state. A group of UK Muslims has asked the Brits to call them the un-Islamic State, and John Kerry calls them the enemy of Islam. But those are as likely to catch on as calling dynamite pixie dust. The French foreign minister calls them Daesh, which is an anagram of their Arabic name. He goes so far as to call them the Daesh cutthroats, which the terrorist organization says is disrespectful. Ain't that always the way? People who famously cut throats hate being called cutthroats. Well, mister, maybe you should have thought of that before getting kicked out of Al-Qaeda for being too radical. Daesh sounds like douche, so it would be fitting to call them Daesh bags. Or since they're exponential factor fundamentalists, might be fun to refer to them with a pork component. The sausage heads, or awful awfuls, or bacon boobs. Still like cretinous toad butt-wipe lizard sticks, but that's probably not going to catch on either. For the Final Edition Radio Hour, I'm Will Durst.
The Final Edition Radio Hour is performed at one time or another by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earl, Rob Gordon, Tony Hendra, Jeff Hendrick, Kevin Janis, Jeff Chrysler, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Evie Parker, Rachel Rauch, Steve Rosenfield, Ann Tuchel, and Darby Worley. The Final Edition Radio Hour is written, at one time or another, by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earl, Rob Gordon, Tony Hendra, Jeff Hendrick, Jeff Chrysler, David Eskridge, Barry Lank, John Marshall, Evie Parker, and Steve Rosenfield. The Final Edition Radio Hour is produced by Tony Hendra and Jeff Chrysler. West Coast producer Barry Lank. The Final Edition Radio Hour is edited and audio produced by Greg Russ and Andrew Hammond. This episode's audio engineer was Eric West. The Final Edition Radio Hour is the property of the Final Edition LLC, copyright 2014. Portions of today's episode have also been performed and written by Leslie Shapira and David Eskridge.